Well, we are moving into the Thanksgiving season, and it's always a good time just to stop and to think about how many things that we have to be grateful for. I like this little saying. It says, God gave you a gift of 86,400 seconds today. Have you used one to say thank you? You know, it's really interesting about America and gratefulness and the things that we have. And so I just want to talk just a little bit today about how important a heart of gratitude really is, especially a heart of gratitude to God. Now, this is a quote that I got, and I'm just going to read it to you because I think it's got a good message to it. It says, Thanksgiving has become a secular holiday. That's interesting, isn't it? Thanksgiving has become a secular holiday. It's a time for family get-togethers, sporting events, shopping trips. There's some, but not enough actual giving of thanks. Moreover, when gratitude is felt, it frequently remains a feeling that is not directed to a good and personal God. As a matter of fact, I read some statistics today where they'd done some surveys, and they found that coming out of COVID this year, most Americans feel more grateful than they have in the past. Statistics say that there's an increase in people who say they feel more grateful. At the same time, they report feeling like other people are less grateful. That seems like an irony that can't possibly be true. If most Americans feel more grateful, then everyone else should be feeling more grateful too, right? But apparently expressing that is not as easy as it seems. And when you talk about directing your thankfulness to a good and personal God, that's something that makes sense to us as believers. We're not just grateful for the things that we get. We're grateful to God for providing them for us. We're grateful to God for the things that he does in our lives. And he tells us to express that. Then too, it continues, it says, when people thank God, it's usually for the material blessings of money, successes, and achievements in life. We do well to thank God for these things. I mean, we should thank God for everything he gives us and for everything he provides for us and for when he lifts us up. And actually, the Bible says we're supposed to thank God when he puts us down because we know that we're in the place he wants us to be to serve him at that time. But it is really hard for us as individuals to keep our minds off of the earthly things that we see, and to realize that there is something much more important than that, something much more important than the gifts that God gives us. However, it says, there are spiritual things for which few thank him. That's interesting, isn't it? And I noticed that a while back in my life. And I noticed that the tendency of human beings, just like it was with me, is to thank God for things that God provided without ever really acknowledging that he was the one who provided it. And as I thought about it, I thought about even the way that I talk, it indicates to people that my mind is set on earthly things, that I'm grateful for all the things that I get, and I love God because of what he gave me and for what he saw me through, which I am grateful for the things that God gave me, and I'm grateful for the things that he's seen me through. But I'm grateful for God in the tough times when I experience things that God helps me through, but he wants me to be faithful in them because he's the one that really is the most important. He showers the blessings that are unrecognized, forgotten, neglected, and they deserve our gratitude. And so, really what we want to take a look at today is what does God want when he wants a thankful heart from us, when he wants an attitude of gratitude towards him? 2 Timothy 3:1-5 explains to us why this is difficult to have, especially the longer that time goes on. Paul says this, he says, but realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. Now, they thought they were in the last days, so we're certainly in them now. And many of us have gone through some very difficult days. For men will be lovers of self. Lovers of self. Isn't that interesting? They say we're in the most narcissistic society ever in the history of mankind. Most individuals have a memorial to them online, to themselves. They post their pictures, they post their daily agenda, they post their opinions, and I'm not saying that that's bad. I've seen people use that as a tool to reach out. But there's a lot of self-centered feeling in America and a lot of self-indulgent behavior. Lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, that means people who scoff at God. They see the things of this world and they embrace them and they have worldly wisdom, but anything that comes from God that's contrary to what we would want or the world's way of success, they scoff at it. Disobedient to parents. It's just a lack of authority. It's a lack of respect. How many of you have heard people talk about that it's so difficult to get a good employee now? Because they don't come with the respect for authority. They don't come with a feeling that they need to work hard to earn their money. They come with an entitled attitude. And because of that, one of the characteristics is that they are ungrateful. No matter what they get, they think they deserve more. Get a $2 raise, I should have got a $3 raise. Get a $1,000 bonus, I should have been $2,000. Somebody else gets a promotion, I should have had that. They're ungrateful. And of course, this scripture is talking about being ungrateful to God because it produces unholiness. In other words, I don't have a grateful heart to God, so I don't have that inner gratitude inside of me that's saying, I want to be changed into the image of Christ. I want everything I do to reflect on God well. I want to serve Him well. I want to be separate from the world. I want to be holy before God, wholly separated before Him. You don't have an ungrateful person with a great desire to be holy. You have an ungrateful person that less and less thinks holiness before God is important. And we all know from the scriptures, holiness before God is very important to Him. It produces a person who's unloving, irreconcilable. That means if you offend them, forget it. They're not forgiving you. Malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal. I mean, we have people who are brutal on social media. We have children who have committed suicide over things that have been done to them on social media, sometimes by people they didn't even know who they were. Haters of good, treacherous. In other words, they'll betray their friends. They can't be trusted. Reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than God. That's an important one right there. When you have a lot of good things, it's easy to forget what's important. It's easy just to enjoy those things and to more and more have your life revolve around the pleasures and comfort of life and less around the sacrifice of serving the Lord. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. I like the way the New Living Translation says that. It says they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. In other words, they've got religion, but they don't have something inside of them that is driving them to be closer to God, to know and understand who God is and what God's will for their life is. They don't have something inside of them that drives them to do what is pleasing in God's sight. They're not godly. And Paul ends up by saying this, avoid such as these. Or in other words, the New Living Translation says, stay away from people like that. And it's interesting, that doesn't mean that we don't go out into the world and reach out to people and try to share with them and bring them in. But it's saying exactly what Tyler did. We need to pursue righteousness and love and faith with those who call upon the Lord with a sincere heart. And we need those people that can push us and can encourage us to love and follow the Lord. Romans 1:20 kind of sets the stage of how this happens and really how God looks down and he says, here is a person who's separated from me. And here's really kind of what happens in that. And in Romans 1:20 it says, "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God." I was talking with somebody just not too long ago, and they were talking about a moment in time, which is their most precious memory of God. And they were actually at a drive-in movie theater. And at the drive-in movie theater, all the lights were out. They hadn't turned on the lights of the movie yet, and he was sitting in the back of the vehicle on the trunk. I think it was a pickup truck. But he just looked up for a moment, and it was the first time in his life he'd ever seen the heavens, the stars, with no natural light. Nothing distracting from it. And he just looked up and it just caught his eye and he was in awe of that. And it just made him realize the presence of God and the greatness of God and what he had done. And he just took that moment and he was thinking about the Lord, and someone was talking to him, someone important, his wife. And she couldn't quite get his attention. And he just said, "I'm not ignoring you. I just had a moment." And he shared that with her. And then she looked up and they shared that moment together. And yes, you can't look up at the creation of God and understand all the intricacies of God. That's why his word is there. But if you can look up at the sky and see and feel nothing, my guess is you're not driven to read the word either. And so he says this, God says this, I'm speaking through the heavens, I'm speaking through creation, I'm speaking through everything that I've made. And if you will listen, you will be able to know me. And so they're without excuse for not knowing God. Yes, it says in verse 21, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. Isn't that interesting? They knew there was a God. And early in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, a few verses before this, it says that God is upset with people who suppress or hold down the truth or push the truth away. In other words, they know there's a God, but their agenda doesn't fit with a God like the one of the Bible. And so they suppress that knowledge and just forget about it and go on. And the characteristics are, number one, there's nothing in their heart that makes them want to fall down and bow before God and submit to him. They don't want to follow him. They want God to follow them. But when you see God as he is in his greatness, there's something inside of you that makes you want to bow the knee. As a matter of fact, when we all come before him, every knee will what? It will bow. And every tongue will immediately what? It will confess that he is the Lord, that he is God, that he is our creator, that all things belong to him, that we were created by him and for him, and by him all things hold together and all things consist. There is nothing without the Lord. But it's easy for people to not recognize that and not bow before him because human nature wants to push the authority of God away, because I can't be in control of my life if God is. And so I don't want to know that. And when I'm in control of my life and I'm not seeing who God is, and I don't even really appreciate the incredible gift that life is, the fact that we're here, that we can think, that we can love, that we can feel the passion of hate. We don't want to feel that. But those emotions that we give, we're alive. And we can use that to honor God by loving, or we can use that to dishonor God by hating. But we are given this gift that we're alive, and we choose where we're going to follow. And it is an amazing gift that God has given us. And we're not grateful or even aware of what a great, precious gift that is. And that's nothing compared to our salvation. And the next result of that is they begin to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. And this is what happens to people. They refuse to acknowledge God as the creator. They refuse to acknowledge how intricate and incredible the creation is and what a gift life is. And they're not thankful because God created and God made them and God has a plan. They're unthankful because everything in their plans, God's not doing. And so they become angry at God. Now, they may not express it, but they're displeased with God. And they don't want to serve a God who wants things from them that they don't want. And so they invent a God that is like what they want to live and fits with their lifestyle. They create their own God. This was happening back when Paul wrote. We can definitely see it happening now. And the result is their minds become dark and confused. Their thinking is twisted. And how many of you have ever watched things on YouTube or the news or heard people talk and thought, how in the world could anyone think like this? And yet they do. Dark and confused. You know, we had Stephanie Weiss pass away yesterday. And many of you in here know her and know her story. There's a few of you who are newer in here and do not. If you've come before coronavirus, you don't know her. But Stephanie Weiss started off her friendship with Karen Worley. There's a picture over there. She's got the green shirt on. And they worked together at the hospital. And Karen and another friend who was a nurse there, they were strong Christians and they lived like we sung. They wanted to sow the seeds. They wanted to sow the seed God had sowed in them and someone else, but they wanted to do it in gentleness and respect and love, like the Bible instructs us to. And so they loved and they were a friend to Stephanie. And as time went on, that friendship grew closer and closer. And Stephanie started seeing some things in both of them, and especially in Karen, that were not in line with what her concept of a Bible-believing Christian was. And so she asked her at one time, and she said, listen, she said, you know, I know you believe the Bible and your type of Christianity, because she went to a progressive church that taught basically whatever you want to do, that's great. And she said, how can you feel this way, you know, as a Christian? I don't understand that. And Karen basically told her, she said, look, she said, I just believe the Bible. She said, when I read the Bible, this is not what God wants for your life. But that doesn't mean I don't care about you. It doesn't mean I'm not your friend. I've been your friend before, and I love you. And Stephanie said, well, I don't believe that's what the Bible says. She said, my pastor tells me that that's not what the Bible says. And she said, well, take this Bible and read it for yourself. And then just come back and tell me. Well, she took it and she started reading it. And about 3 months later, she came back and she said, you know, I've been reading that Bible you gave me. And she said, really? What does it say? And she said, well, it doesn't say that my lifestyle is approved by God. And it just left it right there. A couple of months later, I'm driving back from, I took my son to the Football Hall of Fame, and I'm driving back and on the highway, and I get a call, and Karen's on a three-way call with her and the other nurse, and they're leading Stephanie to the Lord. And so Stephanie comes to the Lord. And she came to the place where she read and she realized that the lifestyle she had, and let me tell you, she had a lot of good reasons for it. She had a really, really difficult, painful, disappointing life. The kind of life that most of us would look at and we thought we had it bad until we saw this. And she had a lot of reasons to reject Christianity in its biblical form. And so she had a lot of things that she had as excuses to not listen to and to not really see what God was saying and submit to it. But when she took the time, because she saw the love of Christ in two other people, and she read that word with an open mind, just saying, okay, if, you know, I've got all these struggles. I got all these problems. Everything is difficult. My life is in turmoil. What does God say? What does he really say? And she was convicted by it. And she surrendered her life to do whatever God wanted. And so then she wants to be part of God's family. She wants to be, she wants Christ. But she's got all this baggage. And she tells Karen, I can't go to church with you, because Karen's saying, come to church with you. You've given your heart to Christ. Come to church. And she goes, I can't come. As soon as I walk in there and they see me, you know, they're not going to accept me, because they're going to be able to look at me and they're going to be able to tell my past. And Karen said, no, they won't. She said, just come. Just come. She came and sat behind. When we had the pews, remember how they were behind that pillar back there? She sat behind the pillar for weeks and weeks and weeks. And you people would go and would see her and say hello and act like nothing's, you know, just, you're here to seek God. We want you to find him, you know, and you're here to worship God. That's what we want for you. And she started moving up further. Then we baptized her. She was afraid to be baptized at first, but once she felt part of God's family, then she was glad to be baptized. And not only that, but her heart was so transformed. I mean, you look at that picture with her in the green shirt, and then you look at that picture of her right before her name, Stephanie Weiss. They don't look the same. What changed on the inside, it took a while to change on the outside, but it changed on the outside. And it changed on the outside with a lot of cost for her, because she lost friends. She didn't stop being a friend, but she lost some friends. And this verse, 1 Corinthians 5:17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. There are people sitting in this room witnessed it. We saw the power, the redemptive power of Christ. And I've had many, many phone calls from Stephanie that would last hours and hours sometimes, because she would call when something big had happened in her life, either good or either bad. And she would just share her heart and her desire to be faithful to God. And you know, she had some terrible, terrible health problems that started, really intensified after she became a Christian. And like the last 3 years, she hasn't even been able to get out and to go anyplace. And yet, she is so grateful. She told me, she said, you know, God knew what was happening, and he brought Karen into my life so that I could find him, because I could never have survived through this without Christ. But I am grateful, and I am not afraid of whatever happens, because my life is in God's hands. The only prayer she had is she wanted to at least lead one person to the Lord before she passed away. One person, that was what her prayer was. And then she called me one day, and she was so excited, a telemarketer had called her. And he was from Houston, Texas. And she was not interested in the product at all, but she asked a few questions about his life and stuff. And somehow this guy was in a really difficult position. And for some reason, this voice on the other end was not threatening. And he just started telling her about his life. Can you imagine a telemarketer talking to you? They talked for over an hour. And she kept asking him, are you going to lose your job from this? And he said, I don't care. What I'm hearing is what I need. And he prayed to receive Christ, and she was so excited. She was so excited. And she had things. She saw herself changing. She saw her values changing. She had peace. She had joy. And I remember she called me one time, and she said, this, and to her, this was the second greatest thing that had happened. Because she had a very, very difficult life with a lot of abusive things that had happened. And she was turned off to a lot of things. And she said, I was in a grocery store. And she said, I can't trust men. I've always been like this with men. And she said, this man came up to me and he started talking, he started flirting with me. And she said, I liked it. She said, something stirred up inside of me that I have never felt before. But it was kind of like an answer to prayer. Because I could see that God had changed my heart to want what he wanted for me. And a few months later, apparently this guy got her phone number. She did give him the phone number. And she was not in good health. She thought she was going to die soon, which it has been pretty soon. It's been several years since then. But she knew she was not in good enough health to keep going. She knew she could not start a relationship. But this man kept calling, and they had conversations and stuff like that. And he did come over to the house, and she told him, we cannot have a relationship. And he kissed her goodbye. She said, I've always wanted to feel like a princess, and now I have. My prayer's been answered. God redeems and changes hearts. He has a tremendous power to give us the things that we really need. And it's not a house, and it's not cars, and that doesn't mean they're not good. But that peace and that joy inside, what would you trade that for? I went up to see her at Emory, and she's laying in that place. She can't move her arms. She can't move her legs. And she's been asleep. I think Karen was there for about 3 hours before I came. And she said, I don't know if she even knows I'm there. And I got there, and I reached over, and I just grabbed her hand, and I said, Stephanie. And you know, sometimes God does this, and sometimes people see this in hospitals a lot, that people will just kind of get this moment. And she opened her eyes, and she smiled, and she was just like talking and normal, and everything was normal other than the fact she couldn't move. But she goes, Hassan, because she's in intensive care with a guy who's in her room only, who's running all the machines that are there. And he's a Muslim. And she says, Hassan, this is my pastor I've been telling you about. That's Stephanie. She's in that place, and when she comes in and when she's lucid, she's telling people and she's telling her Muslim aide or nurse about Christ. And he knew who I was in that time that we came in. God gave her a new heart. Now she's in his presence. When was the last time you stopped everything? And you just told God, thank you. Thank you for what he's done in your heart. That's important. It's what our services are about. Because I know that it's difficult to carve out that time and to have the spiritual discipline of spending that quiet time of gratitude with God every day. But we need it every day. How often during the day do you tell God, thank you? Well, that's a difficult habit to make with all the things that our minds are set on. But it's a habit that we want to develop. It's a habit I know as I've been looking at this, I want to develop the habit to be thinking and thanking God for everything that happens and seeing it from that perspective because I enter into his presence that way. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm just going to read this through. I'm not really going to dissect these verses because they just say what needs to be said. These are the things that are important. And I'm not saying that we don't need to be thankful for everything God does for us. We do. But we don't need to be thankful for everything except the most important thing that God does. And that is bring us into a relationship with him. I'm just going to read from verse 3 down right here. It says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has. Now here comes all the things he's thankful for and why he praises God. And it's interesting that thankfulness leads to worship, to praise. Praise doesn't necessarily lead to thankfulness, but thankfulness leads to praise. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. For he chose us in him. He blessed us, he chose us in Jesus before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, God loves us. He predestined us for what? For the adoption of sonship, or to be adopted into his family through Jesus Christ, who gave his life to bring us into his family. In accordance with the pleasure and will to which praise is to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That story I just told you about Stephanie, that's, look around this room and see how many people you know, that's their story. Different events, same transformation. They have become new creations. They have become new people. They've become the people that God created them to be and that they want to be. In accordance to the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. God lavished this grace on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Just think about what a revelation it was for you to start to understand who God was and how he loved you through Christ and how he was actually present and involved in every detail of your life. The mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Paul says that we are made complete in Christ. Aren't you grateful that our lives are complete? In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. Think about that. We were predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ so we could reflect glory to God. People could look at us and could see how great God is. And you were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of all his glory. That's a lot to be thankful for. And I know there are a lot of things in life that are good that I'm grateful for, but none more than that. And if you just flip over a couple pages to Colossians 3, 1 through 3, it says this: since then, you have been raised with Christ. Since you've been given new life with Christ, a new heart. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You know, it's really interesting how we are in this earth. We have to deal with earthly things, but the spiritual matters more. And our hearts have to be centered on the spiritual reality of God, his love for us, the sacrifice Christ made, the plan that he has to redeem our lives and for us to be a part of his kingdom that's a valuable, worthy part of his creation. Those things are what matters. And our life is hidden with God. And if our minds are on the earthly things, that's what we think about. That's where attention is. That's all that we're grateful for. Then your life is still hidden because your real life is where? It's with Christ. And it's with his spirit in you, guiding you. You're connected to God to fulfill the reason that he put you here on earth. Psalms 50, 23 says, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. And that thanksgiving is a sacrifice because it takes our attention off ourselves and what we want and puts it on God and how great he is. And the things that we're grateful for that he has done in our lives. And yes, it includes the things he gives us, but it mainly includes who he makes us. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. We do this every week, and the reason we do is, in part, it's so that you can look out and see how God is working deeply in people around you. And I found that amazing, haven't you? But the other part of it is to help us to try to train ourselves to speak the way God wants us to. Because it's very difficult not to give God thanks for the house that sold, or the disease that I recovered from, or the surgery that went well, the new car I've got, or the promotion at work, or what. I mean, all those things are great, and God has a hand in all of those things. But there are more important things our hearts should be set on, and if we neglect those, we've neglected what God wants. Give thanks to him and praise him. We speak about how great God is when we truly see how great God is. And our praise needs to be about who God is and what he's done for us. What do you thank the Lord for? And I'm really just kind of challenging you to think about it differently. I'm thinking about it differently as I've looked through this. I've been reading through Deuteronomy. I know that sounds scary, but I've been reading through Deuteronomy. And I've been reading in chapter 7 here. When I got to chapter 7, I just saw for the first time that I got to do Thanksgiving differently. Because what it's talking about is it's saying, you know, when you get to the land, your children are going to ask you. And then you tell them about Abraham and Isaac, and you tell them about the Red Sea, and you tell them about that. You tell them about all the things that you experienced in your life that I did. And then you can talk about those things and talk about the word. And I looked at it and I thought, well, you know, my kids know most of the stories, but we haven't ever really sat down and just chronicled, like the Bible is a chronicle of God's work. We haven't just chronicled what God did in my dad's life that they knew, in my life, and has moved to make our family what it is. And I thought, we'll take some time to do that, and then take a little time for them to share what God has done for them. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. A mind that's alert is a mind that is looking for what God is doing. Jesus says, my Father is always working, and so I also am working. But my mind is not alert if I don't realize that God is working. And when I acknowledge what he is working in my life, I can see it more clearly in others. An alert mind and a thankful heart. Grateful that God has me where I am at this moment and that he's working in there. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. Those things are kind of progressive as they come through. They build in us. Worship builds up. And worship is how we want to live. I love Psalms 119:7 in the New Century Version. It says, I will thank you by living as I should. That desire to live as God wants me to comes from a gratefulness for what God has really done and an appreciation for what he has done in my heart. Give thanks, it says, in all circumstances. I want to be the kind of person that the circumstance that God allows me to be in does not determine whether or not I can rejoice in him, whether or not I can be thankful for him, or whether or not I can praise him. I want to be the kind of person that knows that God is in control of my life. Wherever I am is where he's put me. If it's a challenge, it's because he's doing something great, and I'm grateful to be here to serve him. I know he's going to see me through, and I can praise him and can look forward in hope and faith to what he is doing. I can give thanks in all circumstances, and I mean it. I'm not just giving thanks because I'm told to. I'm giving thanks because I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I'm here with God, and his will through Jesus Christ is being done. Always give thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's that understanding of spiritually what God has done in my life through Jesus Christ that enables me to give thanks to him in the name of Jesus Christ, to praise him in the name of Jesus Christ. Not separate from that, but coming from that, because our salvation is everything. I want you to take just a minute, and right now I'm going to ask you to bow your head, and I'm going to ask you not to move around, because everything in our service has really moved to this point. This is our response time. This is the time we're going to quiet down and let whatever God has put in your heart give you a moment to express it. And we want you to express that however you feel. If you feel God is leading you to bow your head and pray right there, then that's fine. If you feel like you want to kneel before him, then come do it. If you feel like you want to give your heart to Christ, just come down here and I'll speak with you and pray with you. But I'm going to give you just a moment just to pour your heart out to God about how grateful you are, and maybe confess, like I've had to do, that you're not as grateful and not expressing the type of gratitude that he deserves. Maybe you will ask for the grace to help you be equipped to be able to put him and his goodness and his presence and your gratitude for him at the forefront of your mind all the time. To make that a habit of thinking and being thankful. So I'm just going to give you a moment and let you pray. Father, how could I ever be so busy that I could forget what a wonderful and incredible gift it was for Jesus Christ to come to this earth and to die on that cross for me. That in your great plan, he could have come back at any time and set the kingdom up before I was ever born. But in your heart and in your mind, you knew I would exist. And you have patiently waited through time because you loved me and desired for me to be a part of your kingdom. God, how could I not be overwhelmed by that? How could anything become more important than the great love and goodness, mercy and grace that were displayed before our very eyes through the life of Jesus Christ? And how that has been kept alive through the hearts of people for over 2,000 years. And is now in my heart. And you are trusting me to pass that on. To allow others around me to see and to come in touch with the presence of God. Father, I want my heart to be grateful for that all the time. I never want to escape the realization that all I have is from you. There is no life outside of Christ. So, Father, I just surrender myself to you. And I am so grateful for your forgiveness. And I'm so grateful, Lord, that you love me just like I am. And that you're working to help me to become more aware of who you are. And so I ask you, Lord, to help me to be able to share my life with you and to be grateful. And I thank you in Christ's name, amen.